Okay, then. Abanigani, everyone. This is Professor Amin-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District trustees, as well as founder of the Black World Institute, a research center of videos and audio recording of historical personalities and events that taking place in Southern California and the world. I want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner. My co-host, Joe Hembrick, is dealing with some issues, and he may tune in, and he may be still dealing with some issues, but he's a longtime educator for Linwood Unified and Compton Unified School District in all capacities, administration, counselor, educator, and a longtime historian from the standpoint of his independent studies and research on Black people's spirituality and ancient cultural dynamics. We want to welcome you here also to our Conscious Corner, which is a program that speaks truth to the people and deal with courageous and serious questions, as well as dealing with serious and courageous conversations about what's going on in our community, in our state, in our nation, and in the world. Or Wali Wingo is what Swahili is, that African people are people of the world. We're everywhere. We want to say Asante Sana, which is thank you. Many thanks to Brother Rashiki Maskani for providing us this critical space on this platform, Community Education Network. We are the Conscious Corner. We're here every Tuesday at 6 o'clock, as well as the CNN show, the Community Education Network, hosted by Rashiki Maskani as a network that provides in-depth understanding of who we are as a people. We want to welcome Brother Vincent Vernon, and hope that he become a part of our network, as well as Brother Mashinda out of Louisiana, the Deep South, and the challenges that they go through. So we're going to get right into things because there's so much going on. First, we want to start discussing the assassination attempt of Donald Trump, former president of the United States, and get people take on it. There's been so many perspectives that we need to get a Black perspective from an Afrocentric point of view. And this is why we have this show. We think Black, talk Black, buy Black. Everything we do is Black. It's about Black people. And Black people mean African people, Black people wherever they are, as Haji Malcolm X would say. So, Brother Mashinda, what are they saying about the assassination attempt? You got people to think that it was a fake. You got people to think, well, that he was a no good shooter and he should have hit him. You got people to saying that, it was a joke, or that, and they feel sorry for the people that were killed and sorry for the people that got hurt, but they thought that was just collateral damage and that it was just a misfortune from that standpoint. Mashinda, what are they saying in Louisiana?
Well, honestly, from a Black on the Black side of things, people are just not surprised that that it even took place, because of all the rhetoric and things that's been put out, by the dude, and he's, continuing what he's been talking about. And so it's not a surprise. It's almost people are saturated with this, so it's not a whole lot of conversation. It's a general conversation amongst people that I come in contact with. And, I think some of them, say, hey, it ain't got to, turn to violence like that, but, there are people that are abroad in this country that don't, you know, agree and believe in what he's talking about. So, and you got some that'll take a chance on him, you know. So, but no one's shocked on the other side of the coin with the white population that I might run in contact with. They're not even talking about it, you know, amongst, you know, they're kind of keeping it to themselves, you know, like I've mentioned before on other shows where, you know, they tend to be silent. They don't, you know, they're not going to be vocal about it. And I'm talking about these are some down south, like rednecks, you know, a lot of them, and they're, you know, when it comes, you know, on the, at the job site, you know, they're not talking about it, you know, not one of them that I, you know, and I talk to them all the time, but they don't bring it up. They don't, they're not, you know, so, which is, you know, by intentional, it's intentional, because it ain't like they bite their tongue on most things. You know, people have something to say about all kinds of stuff, but they don't want to show their hand, or they don't, you know, for whatever reason, they're not talking about it. But I can read minds, though. So I can tell you by reading their mind, they're affected by it. They are, you know, they're feeling good about the, you know, he showed up at the RNC last night, you know, the beginning of the convention. And so it kind of gave them some new energy. And so I could tell, you know, just in their demeanor, you know, a lot of the folks, they feeling good, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, that's who they support. You know, that's who they support. Now, there is one person that I know that's a true redneck, but he's not supporting. He's actually said he's going independent because he doesn't have any faith in Biden, you know. So he's basically saying that he's, you know, now if he has to, he said if he, at the end, if he said it, you know, he's probably going to vote for Biden, but he's no party. So this is a conversation that he's a self-proclaimed redneck. You know, I know him personally, and he's one. But, you know, and what is that? You know, that's just something culturally and his upbringing and who he is. But he and I can have conversations, you know, and he said that he's not supporting him one bit. And, you know, I tied our governor here and that we have in the state who was tied in. He's more extreme than this guy, you know, and I mean, it's a lot going on down here. It's a lot of constitutional stuff that's in jeopardy in this state. And but really, that's it. It's nothing new, nothing new under the sun. They, you know, they everybody has chosen who they want. You know, he's gotten all his supporters. He just, you know, by marching, he had what, four brothers out there last night, maybe actually six brothers, Ben Carson, Mark Robinson, John James, Wesley Hunt, and Byron Donnell. You know, those guys, they all got out there and, you know, trying to, you know, promote the agenda. And if you look into their background, you know, they don't really represent us. You know, Byron Donnell, who's a House of Representative, and you know, the Wesley Hunt representative, he's a representative, and then the John James is a rep. And I think Wesley Hunt's a mayor of one of the towns. I can't think of it. But anyway, these guys, man, they have their own pre-agendas. You know, you can look who they married to and what's going on. You know, it's kind of like it's that old, you know, as long as they fit a certain profile, you know, they're allowed to get out there and speak, you know, for, you know, that agenda, you know. And so I just saw the mayor of Dallas, you know, he say, he was a Democrat all his life. He changed Republican. And he said because of the protection, they wanted to defund the police and all of that. So he said he didn't get no support from the Democrats. So he changed to Republican. Eric Jones or something. But anyway, he's the mayor. He's the mayor of the biggest city. He's the only Republican that, well, what did he say? He's the mayor of the biggest city you know, as it relates to Republicans in the country. So Dallas, I guess, has as far as population goes, you know, he represents the Republicans. So it's the biggest city that Republicans are represented for mayor. And so he said he wants to make America safe again and so forth. They had Amber Rose on there last night. She's representing the black women, I guess, because he's not having any black women. You know, that's not his forte. You know, he has a problem with black women. And so so anyway, it looks like it's very orchestrated. Everything's very orchestrated. And the people that you see at the RNC is the people I see every day in society. They represent that, you know, wear the cowboy hats and all that kind of stuff. And so I don't know, let's, you know, get your popcorn out and wait for November. You know, hopefully, you know, you pick the right horse in the race.
Okay, good, Majinley, good analysis. Brother Ahe, how you doing?
I'm doing well, brother, how are you?
All right, Bonnie Gunny, how's Detroit?
Detroit is, we still stepping and haven't lost a step. And the rednecks that I talk about, I mean, that I work around, are for real. I mean, they so far out there that they just create their own reality if it don't jive with their beliefs. And they'll call a lie fact. But I haven't heard one statement, hint, nothing about this shooting from these people. And they like to spew their rhetoric out here. I mean, just ridiculous stuff with the theories and stuff to avoid dealing with facts, to avoid being logical. But I haven't heard anything about this from them, and really from my peers. It's like we're so desensitized with this gun stuff that it's just another shooting. And, you know, I did hear one guy say, it's too bad it wasn't Marine. He wouldn't have missed. Yeah, but outside of that, this is so puzzling to me. It's puzzling.
Well, you know, it's a lot of reason people don't say things and don't do things. It's, you know, some of them are dealing with their day-to-day problems. Some of them is not even in tune to politics at all. You know, you have a lot of people that don't even, you know, when the news come on, they turn the channel because they get depressed. So, you know, you have all that to work with. But Detroit is different, though, because, you know, during the 67, when they had their rebellion, they took a tank from the army, you know, rolled down the street, you know, and when the National Guard came, it came with no bullets because they didn't want none coming back, you know. Right. It was a different.
Well, you got to remember what started it, too, Professor Rock. Yeah, it was a shootout.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, store, right. Well, didn't it start at a liquor store or something?
It started after our joint.
That's the Detroit movie said that started.
Yeah,
that.
that's what they say. Yeah. There's a brother that was, is he on here now, Akhenaten?
No.
Yeah, I'm on there.
This is Akhenaten.
Vernon.
Yeah, Akhenaten. How you doing, brother?
I'm good.
Good. What you
brother? Tell him what's happening. Akhenaten is a historian, also.
Okay,
and he'll probably be a little bit more, give you more information about how it started, and you know, like what's going on historically here.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Akhenaten. That's a good name, brother.
I'm gonna say this: Trump told y'all that the election was fake, and he was telling the truth. However. The powers that be decided they did not want him in power anymore and they wanted to get rid of him. He refused to go. He started talking all this rhetoric. They missed him on purpose. They let him know next time we ain't gonna miss. Now he being quiet, he's decided to acquiesce and cooperate. They're not gonna let these rednecks interrupt commerce. It's about money. They're not going to let them do it. They're going to take their guns. They bringing them out in the open. They idiots. They're going to flush them out. They're going to destroy them. But Trump, they let him know next time we ain't going to miss, bro. Shut up and be quiet. And now he know what's up. The Democrats and the Republicans been playing good cop and bad cop with Americans for too long. They in it together. It's time for a change, and we need another party. That's all I'm going to say about it, brother.
Yeah, yeah. Fannie Lou Hamer said that in the Mississippi Freedom Party.
And, right, and the Black Panthers was a political party, brother.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that, man, when they got started. Matter of fact, some of them ran for office.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Cleaver ran for president. Angela Davis was not a Panther, but she was affiliate. She ran for president.
I vote for Eric Dyson before I vote for one of these crackers.
Eric Dyson? You mean Cornel West or Eric Dyson?
Cornel West, right. That's what I mean. Any brother I vote for before I vote for one of them?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Michigan went with Biden last time.
You know? Right. But Biden is a, you know what his history is with Black people and Harris. The Democrats and the Republicans, neither one of them are in our interest, in my opinion.
Well, Malcolm said that years ago. One's a fox, that's the Democrats, and one's a wolf, that's the Republicans. Right. They both belong to the dog family, and they're both canine.
And they both offering us expired goods, man. They both got more viable candidates within their parties, man. They offering us these two old men. Trump, one is a criminal and one is too old. And the public, they forcing us to accept that.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Because one's a performer, which is Trump.
And right, and a criminal.
White people love to deify entertainers. From rock stars, to, you know, going back to, you know, throughout their history. They made up Jesus, you know.
I mean, you know, Reagan got to be president. We both on the same page, brother.
Yeah, that was a trip.
He had psychics talking to him.
I couldn't believe he got elected. Brother, when he got in, I thought it was the end of the world when Reagan got in.
Me too.
Yeah.
But I couldn't believe these people would actually put him in.
Well, they love performers, man. Schwarzenegger, governor. You know,
right?
I mean, they look for entertainment and
cult of personality.
Yeah,
going back to what y'all said too, and your so-called co-workers, when you get on the elevator and everybody get quiet during the election, you know what they've been talking about. If you're the only Black person,
that's a good point, brother. I got to use that in the election. Hey, Rashiki, what is your position on the assassination attempt? You're on mute.
Professor Rob, I didn't even know what was going on. Brother Barry called and he told me, he was joking when he told me. I said, really? So when I turned on the TV and I was watching things, and I'm like, is this real? You know, I had to ask myself, is this real? And then I had a conversation with you, Professor Rob. You said you need to hear more facts on it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. So I kind of kicked back and was watching news clips and all of that. And they seemed to play out pretty good. Somebody got killed and some other people got hit, you know, and all of that. So I'm still waiting to see what's going to happen here. You know, so far everybody made some points that was interesting. So I'm really just checking it out because, you know, it seemed like a stage show to me. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. To be honest.
Okay. Well,
I'm just sitting back and taking it all in.
Well, you know, from Kyrie's perspective, you know, which I follow, you know, you always want to keep up with what's going on in the world as much as you can. And you do your own analysis, of course. I mean, that's very important. And because, especially if you're an activist, and if you're concerned about your people and about the world, because we're in a country whether we participate or not, we're affected by what they do and what they are saying and how they're doing it. So you got to pay attention. I mean, it's like walking across the street and not paying attention to the bus coming, you know, and you get hit. And so there's a lot of our people, some of our people, that just don't pay attention. And then they, until they get hit, scream racism, you know.
Right, my brother.
Actors, singers, you know, they, when they get hit. As long as they ain't getting hit, you know, they're trying to get tickets to Disneyland and things of that nature. I mean, that's the way they are, you know. But getting back to the assassination, it's a very serious, first of all, most conscious people are against indiscriminate violence. But America has always been violent since its inception. That's the Native American. You understand? They changed the whole landscape of this Northern America. And you can count Canada in and Mexico in. They all played a part of exterminating the Native Americans, not the Native Americans, the mixed with Spaniards.
Barbarism.
Yeah, and they, you know, so violence, I think, Martin Luther King, was a non-violent perspective, said America, the biggest purveyors of violence in the world, when he criticized them about the Vietnam. Malcolm X said the ballot of the bullet. You understand? You know, and as I always tell you, politics is violence without a war without violence. And politics, I mean, war is politics with violence. So, you know, you look at, there's no morals and no ethics in politics in any country. It's about who got the gun and who got the power. And by, and they're using our slogan, any means necessary. You understand? And they practice that. And the point is, you see, when John Carlos and Tommy Smith raised their hand for Black power, white folks then took it for white power. You see them lifting their fists, shaking their fist, but they wanted to put John Carlos and Tommy Smith out the country, kept their medals, count them as the United States medals, but then at the same time told them, you know, wouldn't give them jobs, criticized them, threatened them, wanted them excommunicated for raising their fist in solidarity with the people. But the point is that they borrow our songs, they borrow our symbols of resistance and things of this nature, because they are imitators of people.
Culture and, vultures.
Yeah, culture vultures. That's a good term. I use that in the lecture. And then at the same time, you got to look at, at one time, H. Rapper, Jalameen, now in prison, he said in the book, in one book, that violence in America is like apple pie. You understand? And as well as I said, Malcolm saying the chicken's coming on the roost. So you have to look at it from an Afrocentric perspective. So you go back and you research what our people have said about violence in this country and have been victims of violence. Now when they attacked the Capitol, they talked about it was a, you know, attack on a, you know, white folks trying to save themselves from themselves, white on white people, you know, but they didn't call it white on white crime. But the point is, when we're dealing with this issue, you look at the situation where they attempt to assassinate the man, if they really did that. And those people, you know, say, well, I don't think it was a fake because people got killed. And I don't think it was a fake because three or four of the people got shot. And he supposed to have gotten shot, which had been no proof, you understand? But at the same time, you don't get shot in the ear and come that close and then worry about your shoe, and then worry about, you know, where's my shoe, and then raise your fist, talking about fight, 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 you know, giving the snipers or whoever was shooting another shot at you. So it's some strange thing. and for them not to secure the buildings all around with regards to a clear shot at him. That's suspicious in itself, especially when people was telling the police that there's a man coming up, climbing up the building with a gun. And he's crawling around. And then they won't shoot him until he get off 8 shots? That don't make sense to me. I mean, I'm not a conspiracy guy, don't get me wrong. But you can't tell me 2 and 2 is 5. You understand? And when I look at it, it just don't add up. And that's why there's so much questions about the role of Secret Service with Trump having his hand. You got to remember, one of the main Secret Service dudes wouldn't even testify against Trump. And by what he said in the car and what he was going through, when they said he was choking people, talking about taking me to the Capitol and all that, you know. So, you got to look at, you know, people think things are beyond happening when there's a possibility. Now, I'm still waiting on more information, but they ain't giving no information. And all of a sudden, you got a cat that did the shooting. It got kicked out of the rifle club because it couldn't shoot straight. And then at the same time, you got a man that could climb a building. People tell the police there's somebody on the building, and they don't respond until after they shoot 8 times. And they have snipers all over the place. And they eventually shot him and killed him. So he couldn't talk. He couldn't talk at all. Yeah. And so you don't know what his motives is or what is what. And that's another thing that raised suspicion. But at the same time, we have to look at it from an Afrocentric. There have been assassinations throughout this country. You know, they don't talk about the, we got to stop the violence, and this is America, and, you know, we don't do that in our election. You've been doing it. Abraham Lincoln, and bring it all the way up. And then there are two types of leadership assassination. Wow. COINTELPRO. You understand? They assassinated the brother in Chicago because there was a Panther. They assassinated Martin Luther King. I mean, we can go all the way down the line of Black people that they have assassinated. And the killing of Patrice Lumumba and
Nkrumah.
Yeah, and Nkrumah. I mean, there's just been all kind of stuff. Look at the people of Libya. I mean, Obama sitting up there and kill Gaddafi. Come on, they don't believe in violence. When it comes to them.
Right.
They cry like wolves. They cry like babies. But as long as they're doing the killing, they cheerleaders. You understand? They pray for the people to drop the praise to God for a safe bombing of the Japanese. You know, I mean, these are some sick people. We ain't dealing with normal people. But anyway, look at what they did to Marcus Garvey. Look at the leaders that they just criminalized, just gave a fake case to, so people wouldn't fire them. But yet they're going to elect a man 34 indictment and found guilty. But yet at the same time, a brother get one felony, he can't get a job. So we got to look at it from that perspective, but we're going to go to another subject that's very, what about the convention? Anybody watching it? Mashinda, y'all, you sound like you was watching it. You still there, Mashinda? The man stepped away. What about you? You've been watching it?
No, sir, I have not.
Okay. What about you, Rashi? What about you, Rashi?
I'm watching clips on Democracy Now.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing in depth. I just know they picked a vice president to run when he was running mate. JP Vance? What's his name?
JD Vance.
Well, this guy supposedly didn't like Trump at all. Now he's Trump cheerleader now. So that don't even make sense.
But Rubio was the same way. All the guy from Texas,
Nikki Haley.
Yeah, all of them do that. You know, I mean, but see what I'm saying is that they try to act like Trump's a victim. You understand? But he's the one that's been pushing violence. Yeah, you know, he's the one that led the struggle at January 6th. He's the one that said he had bailed out people who was at his rallies beating up people. He telling them, I mean, he's the one that said he's going to pardon all those that attacked the Capitol. He said, you know, I'm not going to certify no election if I think it was rigged. What do you think? Well, what about the courts? So even if the court said it wasn't rigged, if I think it's rigged, you know, I'm gonna unleash my posse on you. So, you know, you gotta look at the violence, not from, you know, they always think in America, we don't do this. They lead the world in incarcerations, robberies, thefts, murders, and all you have to look at the index, you know. In some countries, they don't even have guns. You know, mm-hmm. You know, they only the army have them. You know, I mean, and here they are in right now in Milwaukee, where they're having the convention. It's an open carry state. They can walk in the arena with guns where they're having the convention. You know, and you know, so you gotta look at the whole purpose of carrying a gun is to be violent if something, even in self-defense. You know, handguns are the key. Oh, shoot up close, not marksmanship. And so you have to know your history and know not only your culture, but their culture. So I watch as much of it as I can till I get sick. And when Tim Scott came on and jumped up and said, I don't care what nobody say. I know my people on the left is going to get mad at me, but America is not a racist country. I mean, I say, okay, Timmy, you know, they paying you good. Mad to a Caucasian. Well, people get mad with the hell they want. I don't give a damn about that. But I'm just saying it's in line with him trying to please white folk. Clarence Thomas, you know, even Katanga Brown, and even Kamala Harris, they all got. You know, it just throws me off that, you know, you are to your people to keep your people going and not mix it up, you know. But anyway, those are the struggles that we're dealing with. But the convention is going on, and you hear all that smoke, and there's fire behind. And all of them talking about, you know, we're going to make the America great again. What do you mean? You know, I mean, how are you going to do it? But by voting in one dude? That don't even make sense. One man going to make America great again. You know, you need a Congress, you need a Senate. You already got the Supreme Court. And, you know, to a certain degree, if he wins, if he don't. Look at the woman Cannon throwing out his case. You know, throwing out his case and structured it where you can get all the rest of them strong. Here's the Supreme Court saying, Donald can shoot us and get away with it if it's part of his executive duties. Hmm. That makes sense. If it's part of his executive duties. Unless he's convicted by the Senate, it's okay. That means shooting you, fool. You understand? You're your kid.
Professor Rye.
Yeah.
Can I just say that if money is the value, the human is devalued. They're seduced into just going for the money at all costs. Nothing else matters. And that's one of the biggest issues, is that the value system is crooked and it's about money. And that's why you have these people that just do whatever to get the money. They offer them a purse and they go ahead and do what they do.
Well, that's what the conventions are for, to pass out envelopes with cash in them. That's, I mean, you ever been to them? Just go down to Sacramento and where the Assembly and the Senate meet. They got lobbyists with cards, and they come to the pool and they give a card, give it to the Senate, they meet. You know, they're just exchanging cash, untraceable cash. You know, and that's the same thing with the Republican Democratic thing. You know, you're gonna speak, you gotta pay some money. And that's, you know, they give it to you. If you go on, you gotta raise a certain amount of money. I mean, then at the same time, when Nixon, they found in the safe nothing but envelopes for the cash. You understand? I mean, you're right. Whenever you call killing over 40,000 or 50,000 people collateral damage, you already devalued humans. You understand? That's a devaluation there. Whenever you enslave people for hundreds of years, you devaluating people. Whenever you wipe out a whole generation of Native Americans and take their land, that is devaluating humans. When you drop bombs on people, it's to steal their land and take their resources and let them starve while you're stealing their gold and diamonds out their mines and out the ground. That's devaluating human life. Whenever you are against climate control, you are against human life. That's what killed the dinosaur. Climate change. You understand? So, you're right, Rasha Chi. Yeah, but it's not just now in American politics. That was their nature from the beginning. You know, that's what the Crusades was about. You know, I mean, but they don't teach you that. You got to go in there and get books and get films like Democracy Now! And, you know, analyze, get conversation from critics and people from think tanks that speak truth about what's really going on. And many times they don't do that. Most our people, you know, as hockey, we send them to school to be indoctrinated. You understand? And we think they're getting an education. And you can get some education, you understand, but most of it is to indoctrinate you to patriotism, being patriot. That's what Pledge of Allegiance was. That's what prayer was. That's what picking the flag out and putting it up on the poles, selecting some people in predominantly black schools, raise the American flag, the California flag, the Michigan flag, and all the totems and the symbols, the bear, the eagle, the lion, you know, anything, you understand? So you're right 100%. I can't, and I don't think anyone with any common sense would say that this system don't devalue human worth. And that's the most valuable entity on the planet is human. You know, it's more valuable than gold, more valuable than diamond. Human life, how much is it worth? You understand?
Dr. Rapp.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with this 2025 proposal?
That was going to be my next thing, yeah.
Okay, excuse me, sir.
Yes, go ahead. No, go ahead. Ask
a question. No, I'm just asking you because I'm not really clear on it besides.
It's put together by the Heritage Conference. They're the ones that vet the judges that they are for the Republicans, vetted the vice president that they just chose, and that they are very, a multi-million dollar organization that gives big money for propaganda and pushing the ideology and philosophy. The 25, Project 25 is a program of trying to get a First they deal with spirituality, a white Christian nation, a theocracy with a combination of a figurehead of that democracy, like a combination of theocracy and a monarchy, where you have generations of people lining up to take the helm. And that's what getting this young dude as vice president to take the place of Trump after his family. You know, Trump's going to move his family in after he leaves, if he stay in power. And he's going to, but he ain't going to give it up till he died, like Supreme Court justice. See, you can't argue age is a problem and then say the Supreme Court can stay there for life. And you know, I ain't no age problem here. People determining if you get you, if they can execute you or not. If the law, what laws for the nation, they deal with national law, federal law. Federal mean national. Ain't no such thing as a national holiday. It's a federal holiday. And that's when banks and mail don't get me. Those are federal government projects and things. And federal buildings, no court, no in the federal court, no this. That's a what they call a national holiday. But a federal holiday, but some people call it a national holiday. And the only point is that they believe in white Christian nationalism. They believe in the department, all schools that are private should get public money, and get rid of the Department of Education. They want to get rid of the Social Security and public employees, federal public employees. And, you know, they just a wild, this is a wild project. I mean, that's just a highlight. They go through a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, it's hundreds of pages, you know, that a plan, you know, national abortion. And see, the thing is, you know, what, you know, once they tell you, you know, you can't buy a house, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. And they can implement it by having the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, National Guard, and, you know, militarism to enforce the law. You know, and I mean, that'd be some resistance, but, you know, you don't have Black Hawk helicopters, you know. You don't have the automatic weapons or the satellite spying and all that. They need to have all that, you understand? And that's what Project 25 is about, converting this country and the world to Christian nationalism. Now, you can have your own religion, but you can't have no power, you understand? You know, but it'd be all white Christian nationalism. That's what the Project 25 is about. And every institutional, education, economic, social, and political systems. Those are your four major systems. And they control them all from a white theocracy / a monarchy system, putting them together as Trump as the figurehead. They already calling him Jesus. You understand? And yeah, they do that. They call him Jesus, man. You know, he calls himself that. I'm your retribution. You know, and all that type of stuff. And making them, I mean, first of all, he represents the monster side of America, as Dr. Karenga would say. And then at the same time, here are people that don't, no matter what he do, it's okay. You know, it's okay. You know, they don't care about the 34 felony conviction. They don't care about him getting having to pay a fine of over $85 million to a woman that he molested. They don't care about him saying you can grab Gucci's on the bus. They don't care.
Different standards.
Because to him, he's their bastion of hope to put white people back in charge. But they can't do it because the country is, you know, multicultural now. And you know, they dream in fantasy. I don't know who's going to win the election. Trump got 77 million votes last time, and still lost the popular vote and the electoral college. Now, he feels that because of them rallies and his performance and the ratings, he's going to win. He thought that the last time in 20, you know, he thought it would be a bit closer. It wasn't. And we'll see. But white people fall in line. Everybody talking about how Mickey Haley and how Rubio and Cruz and how J.D. Vance, all of them used to criticize Trump. On the inside now. But you can't substitute that for the many people, and some African Americans that are there supporting this man, even though he's vowed to take away their freedom. And they say, okay, we don't care as long as he made America great again. And a country that's never been great. Great don't mean good, it just means you're powerful. That great don't mean you good, you know. They didn't say you're gonna make America righteous again. They didn't say you're gonna make America fair and good for all people again. Say you're gonna make America great again. American and white and Christian are synonymous. You know, they're the same people. You know, I mean, claim you're American on your passport. Getting for a job, citizenship, they count you, they exploit you. But then when it comes down to the equal justice, equal status, equal power, they don't share, you know.
Will they ever?
No, it's not in their nature. Their nature is to dominate, devastate, and degrade. It's like putting out your lights or your But now everybody lights so your light can shine. You know, they've always been that people. They took over every institution and turned it into white power. You know, their whole thing is defense and offense, military. They called it power through strength. You understand? Their biggest budget. It's the military. I mean, that takes over close to 3/4 of the budget. You understand? They got troops. They got over 50,000 troops in Africa, in different places. You understand? They got troops in Taiwan. You know, they got troops in South Korea. They got troops all over, man. Military, boats, submarines. You understand? For what? To stay in power. Not to make the world better. You understand? I don't know what to tell people. You know, I don't know how they see it. I can't make them see it. And I don't want to try to convince them to see it the way I see it. I want them to make their own judgment in their right mind. But that's why we teach so hard, to try to get them to think. It's a mental illness, man, and it's not just people talking to themselves. It's people just not even paying attention to what's going on around
them. Ignorance is bliss.
Oh, you know, yeah, man. That's the problem. Yeah.
Brother Chihuahua's here.
Good. How you doing, Chihuahua?
Yes, I'm doing well. I just got through going through some of my songs, and it dawned on me that it's Tuesday. And though the time was running along so late, I said, let me just go on in and at least give ear to the final moments. You know, I just caught what you just said. And then the other brother, Embrick, I believe he is, that said.
That's Ahi from Detroit. Ahi?
Yeah, okay, yeah. And he said, ignorance is bliss, you know. And I don't know exactly what we were discussing, but...
We were discussing assassination temp on Trump, and we're again trying to get a black perspective, and we're discussing white Christian nationalism, and she, we pay attention to the Republican convention. What's your take on all of it?
Well, you know, when it comes to the political scene, what's going on right now, I think people, we as a people, should look at the historical relevance, and not so much at the thing that we see happening in front of us. When we talk about the vote and the system of voting, and we look at the history of voting and the history of the two parties, Democratic and Republican, we will find that for the most part of the history of both parties, because we were neither accepted by either party, but at one point we were predominantly of one party rather than the other. So historically, black people in America were historically Republican. And the reason for that is in the history of both parties, you will find that anything from the advent of and even prior to Emancipation Proclamation, you will find that the Republicans were more apt to giving the black population more leeway within the system, what we call America today.
But they called them radical Republicans.
Excuse me?
In the beginning, they were called radical Republicans, the Lincoln Party of Lincoln.
Yeah. Either way, the history will show that, you know, the Republican Party were the black people were predominantly Republican, and you had white Republicans, but they were sided with the white Democrats. And at some point, the white Republicans realized that really they weren't getting anywhere, and that the black Republicans were very strong and very powerful, because, you know, we had a genius about us, and still do to this day. And not so much Republicans, but just black people in general. And so the white Republicans sided with the black Republicans, and the white Democrats really didn't like that. It was a very bad thing to the Democrats, and they fought against the white Republicans and did a lot of very, very, very dirty things to them, as well as to the black people in general, and specifically black Republicans. Mm-hmm. There's a history of all of that. So when you see what's going on today, most black people, Democrats or Republicans, not all of them, but quite a high percentage of them, do not understand or know the history between these two parties. They don't know that it was the Democrats that fought against everything and anything that had to do with the freedom of black people. The Democrats fought it tooth and nail from the very beginning.
Until Delano Roosevelt.
Excuse me?
Until Delano Roosevelt. That's when the transition went over to the Democrats.
Okay. I tend to be more interested in the truth surrounding whatever we see. Now, we also know this for a fact, that there's another hand, there's a hidden hand in all of what we see going on today, politically, spiritually, industrially, and everything, and militarily, everything. And that hidden hand has infiltrated the government here, the legislation. They're in every branch of government, and their works are being felt today. You know, so when you see Hollywood, you got to understand that everything is being staged. I mean, Roosevelt, the one that said nothing in politics happens by accident, but everything is carefully planned and executed. So he's telling you right then and there that whatever we see going on, there's a 99.5%, I should say, I'd like to say 9%. All of it is really staged to a certain degree, you know. we've already seen what's going on with all of the attempts to get rid of this particular candidate. So sometimes when we think that one is better than the other, neither one of them, they want to always work to get either one of them into the seat. And it's not going to make a difference. When you get a black man in the seat and nothing happens for black folks, you know, that tells you the power that they have of influence over whoever sits in that seat. You know, because, and I say this because of the works of Barack Obama through Hillary Clinton in the destruction of the Libyan government and their leader, Muammar Gaddafi. You know, we can look at that. And Gaddafi's biggest mistake was to be so proud and happy that Obama, you know, is sitting in the White House. But it's under his administration that he was taken out. And to this day, the Libyan people have only known misery and horror, where before that, under the rulership of Muammar Gaddafi, they were a free nation, owing no monies to any bank anywhere on the planet Earth. There were no Libyans trying to flee Libya to come to America or any European country so they can make a living or make a better life for themselves. And yet and still, because of Hollywood, which we call today mainstream media, you know, we know who controls all of that, the newspapers, the radios, the television, the magazines. We know who controls all of that. They have an office in the White House or in Washington, and Washington have an office in Hollywood. So we have to understand what we're looking at. And I think when our people begin to look at the truth, begin to look at what's going on in the world at large, and then we begin to stop trying to be Americans.
Amen.
You know, when we were on the plantation, none of us were Americans. You know, when they went down there to Texas and Juneteenth for Juneteenth thing, none of us was Americans. You know, but today we proudly say we're Americans, and we'll turn our back on the truth and turn our back on history and turn our back on each other to prop up America. So there's a lot of things that we're not really looking at. And one of the things I think is significant is Ukraine. They send billions of dollars to Ukraine. They send billions of dollars to Israel. They spend multi-millions of dollars on the immigrants that were purposely encouraged and illegally invited, just come into the country by the present administration. And they spent millions and multi-millions of dollars on them. While they're doing all of this, they're looking at the black people, the true American, Aboriginal, indigenous people of America, and they act as if they're not even in the room. And besides that, the administration, before coming into office, they made one statement: if you're not black, if you don't vote for me, you're not black. Now, right after they spent all this money on these different two places, and those are the three entities that I mentioned, there's lots more they're spending money on. They then turn around and create a draft from 18 to 26. You're now drafted. I want to know, how come I don't hear black people talking about that? Who you think they're going to draft? You think? And this is automatic registration, signing up for a draft. You don't even have to go down there and fill out a paper yourself. You don't have to go nowhere. They will automatically put you in there. Once you're in the age of 18 to 26, you draft it. And so are we going to allow them to after ignoring us all this time, and after we have sacrificed ourselves in all of their wars, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, I have war heroes in my family that universities have done studies on, you know, that landed on the Normandy beach in the heart of Mississippi and come back. And all of these things is documented. My connection personally by blood, and then a lot of other Americans here. And so we, Black Americans. And so we understand this, but how much are we going to take and not just stand up and speak the truth? And let these people understand that we're not going to participate in your foolishness.
Yeah, yeah, but Shara, what is your position on the assassination attempt on Trump?
It's in the theater. It's in the theater. Mm-hmm. It's a mask, you know. Now, you know, because an assassin hits his daggone target. Yeah, assassin hits his target. You know, it's like a solidification of a fact that everybody knows. You know, there's no Democratic candidate that is worthy. Don't even come close. Not that there's a Republican candidate, but if you look at Trump's track record, I mean, that man has done quite a bit when he was in office. And if you look at the devastation that occurred once he got out of office, I mean, it's a no-brainer. You know,
assassinating itself. I don't understand that statement. You know, you're saying that when Trump was in office, things were great and he did a good job.
I'm saying that there's a track record.
He has a track record of doing what?
Okay, they said they had an immigration problem, right?
He didn't stop it.
No, I'm not saying he stopped it. I'm just trying to tell you he did something that kind of slowed it down when he started building.
So you supportive of him taking kids from their parents and putting them in cages? You think that was a good policy?
Okay, so you're saying that I think taking parents from
asking you, do you think you said
he no, no, no. You're asking me, you asked me if taking children from their parents and putting them in cages, that's what you asked me.
Yeah.
Okay, now anybody in their right mind would not agree with that. Whether they're Democrat, Republican, or any different party, it doesn't matter.
All right, I'll ask you another question. Let me ask you another question. What did he do that you thought was good about immigration?
Everybody know what Trump did.
No, I asked you what is you said he did a good job.
I'm just saying everybody know what Trump did. He was building a wall, right? A wall.
They busted people for stealing the money to build a wall, and they never completed the wall.
Okay, I'm not gonna talk about those little things that people want to say about the wall. A wall is a wall. A fence is a fence.
Okay.
If you put a fence around your yard, it's put there to keep people from coming into your yard and violating the space that you call your own. Anything outside of the fence is public property or whatever goes on outside. But when you put a fence around your yard, you're privatizing your yard. So if you put a fence along your border, you're saying you're putting a more firmer structure up there. That's all you're doing. Now the political and bureaucratic squabble that people want to engage in about that I have nothing to do with that. You know, I don't care what people think about anything. I understand that if you want, if your yard is open and you want to stop people from walking across your yard, you're going to put up a fence. That's common sense. So to me, when he did that, that made sense. Now, the moment Biden got in office, what did he do? He tore it down. So, and people from all over the world just started coming in. Now, me being a Rasta man, I don't really deal with no fence, because God don't put up no fence for nobody. We deal with morals and ethics. We deal with a certain precepts precepts and principles. We live by certain precepts and principles. But however, those who do not live by precepts and principles have to take certain precautions. You build a wall. Then you monitor the people that's coming into your country and the people that's leaving your country or whatever. That's how it is. It's just natural stuff in today's world. Another thing that he did, and I can't be really specific because I'm not a history studier like that, but people who want to know what Trump did, it's all on public record. What were the things he did? You know, he did a lot of things for Black women in that were incarcerated, in childbirth. He passed a law that said you can't handcuff these people to the beds. He's one did that. He pardoned a lot of different people that had nothing to do basically with him. That he there's a lot of things that he did. And under his administration, a lot of things happened. Now, I'm not trying to advocate for him because I'm not a political minded person. I don't even vote like that. But that don't mean I can't look at it and have a critical mind towards it. You know, just like those who have the right to vote. There are people that have the right not to vote, but that don't mean they're not affected by the vote.
Is that Roxanne? Oh, Roxanne. Oh, that's you. Okay, well, look. That's a good perspective.
Do they actually talk? I was going to invite him.
What?
Go ahead, Rob.
I was just saying that's a good perspective and appreciate what you said, if I understand correctly. And you know, there's a lot of people that feel the way you feel, and you got 77 million votes, so people must have thought you did something right. So that's a good perspective. And it's good to know those perspectives. Rasha Key, what's coming on tomorrow?
We have, give me a second. I want to make sure I have all the information correct. We have Haroldis Adama Alaji, and the topic is Liberation is a Cellular Function. She's out of Atlanta, and I was on an education panel with her, and she has a lot of interesting information regarding health. So that's what's going on tomorrow.
Okay. Well, I want to say exactly to everybody's perspective, especially you, Ahi. We always appreciate seeing you and Brother Asharawa for being here with his in-depth thoughts, and Brother Rocky Chief for providing us this platform. And you know, we're trying to get Dr. Molina or Dr. Cornell West to be on one of the shows soon. And hopefully that they will. Oh, I just it's catching up with them because they're out trying to raise money and get qualified for different ballots. Long challenge. And we'll keep you posted on the status of that. All right then, Rasha Key.
All right.
Take us on home.
We're going to take our pause. Each one teach one. Conscious Corner.
All right.
Continue an excellent evening.
I'll get back to you.
All right.